So I want to ask you a question this morning, and the first thing is this, is that, you know, my wife loves Hallmark movies. How about you? She loves those movies so much, in fact, that if you go on our DVR, you can see a lot of these Hallmark movies that she's recorded. Some of them she's watched half, sometimes she's watched three-fourths of it, but they're always there. I ask her often, tell me, why is it, dear, that you love these Hallmark movies? And you know what she says? Because I know how they're going to end. You know what she means, don't you? The guy gets the girl, and they live happily ever after. Have you ever been to a movie when you got to the end of the movie that you left frustrated and you were confused? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've just watched this movie and you're walking out and you're scratching your head and you're thinking, that's not the way it's supposed to end. There was no ending. I need to know what happened to the main character. I don't know what happens to him. And then your friends ask you, hey, how did you like the movie? And you say, I hated it. Why? Because I didn't like the ending. I didn't like the way it ended. It left me hanging. There's all these loose ends, and I don't know how it ends. And you know what they say to you, don't you? Well, you know they're setting you up for the sequel. My response is, I don't care about a sequel right now. I want to know the end of the story. And then we come to the Gospel of Mark. And Mark brings us to the end of his book, and we find ourselves hanging. We don't know how it ends. We don't know where the main character is. And so we begin to ask, what happens? I need to know the ending. I need to understand. And my friends, that's the story that we've been preaching for the last 2,000 years. Would you stand with me out of respect for God's word as I read from the book of Mark? Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today confirm once again in my life the evidence of the empty tomb and the knowledge that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you see what I mean? Mark did the exact same thing. Here we have the greatest story ever told by one of the greatest writers in the Gospel of Mark. He leads us all through the book of Mark, telling us and showing us all of the experiences and incredible miracles that Jesus did. He gets us to this point, and after we know everything that's happened to Jesus, Jesus is resurrected, and then nothing. Where'd he go? We know that the grave is empty, but where is Jesus? He's gone. Even the three women, when they get to the tomb, they get there late. Jesus is already resurrected. One of the things that I believe is that there was no one, and I mean no one at that time, that believed that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. Think about this. Even the women, the three women, when they went to the tomb, they didn't go to the tomb to see if Jesus was resurrected, right? They went to the tomb for closure. They went to the tomb because they wanted to finish the burial process. They wanted to bring the funeral to an end. And the Bible tells us that when they're on their way to the tomb, they're wondering who's going to roll away the tomb. And when they get there, to their surprise, the stone, the large stone, has been rolled away. Mark tells us that the women go up to the grave and they look in the grave. And here's something very interesting. All Mark tells us is that there's a man dressed in white. No angel, just a man dressed in white. And when the ladies peer in, do you remember what that man said? He said, "Don't be afraid." Too late. You know, one of the things that we know about the Roman soldiers is that they knew what death looked like. They knew when a person was dead, and they knew when a person was not dead. You remember that when Jesus and the criminals were hanging on the cross, that the Pharisees did not want the bodies hanging on the cross on the Sabbath. That was part of their tradition. And so the soldiers went to make sure that the ones hanging on the cross were dead. They got to the criminals and they broke their legs, which just sped up the process. But the Bible tells us when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. But just to make sure, do you remember what the soldier did? He rammed a spear through Jesus' side, penetrating his heart. My friends, the soldiers knew that Jesus was dead. And then there were all of those people that helped carry his body into Joseph's tomb. The Bible tells us that they rolled this huge rock in front of it and they put a seal on the tomb. Why? To make sure that nobody got into the tomb to steal the body. My friends, Jesus was dead. And now here comes these three women, the Bible tells us, and they look into the tomb, and as they gaze into the tomb, the angel has a message for them. He tells them, "Don't be afraid," and then do you remember what he said? He said to the ladies, he said, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus has gone ahead of you to Galilee. He will meet you there." Now, I wanted to ask you a question. How would you feel if you were Peter? You know that the last time that we heard from Peter, Peter was crumbling under the cross-examination of a little girl. Remember, this young girl said, "I know who you are. I know you were one of them. Your accent gives him away." And do you remember Peter? Peter looked at her and said, "I do not know him." So the ladies from the tomb, they get their orders, and the Bible tells us that when they leave the tomb, they are terrified. So they run back to the disciples. Can you just picture the story? There's a knock on the door, the ladies come in, and they're all out of breath because they've sprinted the entire way. They're talking 100 miles an hour, and the disciples are trying to calm them down to hear the message. And one of them says, "We have a message for you. The man in white told us, the disciples, you're to go ahead and meet Jesus in Galilee." "Oh, yeah, and Peter, Jesus is looking for you." Whoa. The disciples are told, go to Galilee, but then there's a special message for Peter. "Oh, yeah, Peter, Jesus is looking for you." No, we learned that the grave, that death could not hold our Lord. Mark tells us this incredible story, and I want you to know that there are many people that when you read the book of Mark and you see that it begins at verse 8, and then you've got 9 through 20. And a lot of times people want to know, well, what happened? How come those 9 through 20 were added later? Well, here's one of the things that people believe. When the scribes would write the scriptures, they wrote this on a long, continuous, almost like paper. It was a material that they wrote the scriptures on. And when they didn't have material, a lot of times they would tape the ends together. Some believe, actually, that that last part of that parchment got left off or got torn away, and then it was added later. But you know what most theologians believe about Mark? They believe the story that Mark is telling them. You know why? Because they really believe that nobody could tell a lie as foolish as what Mark would have told. You see, in those days, Mark would have never used women as a witness. Do you realize that for a woman in the days of Jesus, they did not have a valid testimony? So in other words, if you had a case, you had a court case, and your only witness was a woman, guess what? You had no case at all. And so people, these theologians, believe that Mark couldn't have told that big a lie and used the women as the testimony, as the witnesses. And so they believe this, in fact, is a true story. So let's get back to the story, and I want to ask you a question. Why is it that you think that Jesus took the disciples and told them, I'll meet you in Galilee? Why did he want to meet them in Galilee? Have you ever thought about that? I really think the reason that he wanted to meet them in Galilee is because that's where it all began. You see, Jesus was taking the disciples and he was going back to the very place where everything began. This is the place where he met Peter and Andrew and James and John. You remember they were fishing, the Bible tells us. And Jesus comes on the shore and he calls out to Peter and he goes, hey, Peter, follow me. Do you remember the conversation that Peter and Jesus had later on? Maybe that conversation at the water went something like this. Hey, Peter, I brought you back here because I want to make sure we get this right. We've already been through this once. And Peter, you remember that I told you who I was. And Peter, you remember I told you what was going to happen to me. I told you, Peter, what the soldiers were going to do to me. And do you remember what you said? You said, Peter, it wasn't going to happen. So here we are, Peter. We're back on the shores where I first asked you to come and follow me. Maybe now, Peter, let's try it again and let's see if we can get it right. Now, Peter, you know who I am. You've seen, you've heard, you know, and you can see the scars in my hands. You know that I am who I say that I am. That story of how that came about is recorded in John chapter 21. But my friends, what was it that Jesus was doing to Peter? He was giving him another chance, wasn't he? So let me ask you this question. How many chances do you get? How many chances do you get to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your risen Savior? And maybe we could ask, and how do I know that my last chance is indeed my last chance? Here's what I would say to you. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I do know that Jesus is risen from the dead. I do know that Jesus is seeking the lost and he is setting the captives free. And I don't know where you've been and I don't know what you've done. But according to the man who was dressed in the white robe, he said, Jesus is looking for you. Think about that. Tell the disciples and Bob that Jesus is looking for you. Tell the disciples and Emily, tell the disciples and Grant, tell the disciples and Stephen, tell the disciples and Mary that Jesus is looking for you. I don't know if this is your last chance, but I do know this. Jesus has come to you at this point in your life, and he is looking for you. Why would he be looking for you? Here's why. Because Jesus wants you to know who he is. Jesus wants you to know that he is exactly who he says he is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God, and he is looking for you. So, my dear friends in Christ, wherever you may be right now, you may be alone, you may be with your family. Jesus has come to you at this point, and he is giving you another chance. And so I want to invite you this morning. Don't wait. We don't know how many chances we're going to get, but let's take advantage of the chance that Jesus has given us today. And so right now, I want to lead you in a prayer. And after this prayer is over with, if you have asked Jesus to come and live in your heart, if you have received and accepted this chance, I want you to let us know. You can do that online. You can do that at prayer@centralcommunity.church. But let us know. We want to contact you. We want to help you get into church. We want to help you know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So wherever you are, would you bow your heads right now? Don't let this chance leave. Walk with me to the tomb. Peer in it and look and see and hear the words of the angels. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Heavenly Father, I now come to the tomb, and I see that the stone has been rolled away. I have been looking at so many different things and ways in my life to hold on to that which I thought was going to give me hope, and everything the world has offered me has left me hopeless. You have given me chance after chance to receive the truth, and now here I am once again at the entrance to the tomb. Father, I receive what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know what this all looks like or feels like, but I want what Jesus has. And so, Father, I confess and I repent of my sin. I turn from my wicked ways, and I ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Bring alongside of me friends, followers of Jesus and of the church, so that I know, so that I can learn how I can live my life for you. And thank you, Father, for what you've done in my life. And it's in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to know. And the reason I want to know is because I want to pray for you. I want you to know that you are loved and that Jesus came looking for you. You didn't find him, but he found you.